be able to take hold for ourselves of that amazing scripture, to be still and know that I am God. I have found that personally to be a really tremendous key. I need stillness before the Lord as much as I can get, but my life is usually really, really busy. And so I've really learned that about myself, and I'm sure it's true for most of you as well, that times of stillness and intentionally stilling your heart and finding moments where you can just go very, very still inside, very, very quiet and still, and perhaps you're not even worshipping, you're just listening. But in that stillness, I yield to His presence. I just surrender. It might be helpful for some of you, it helps me sometimes too. I'll bring before me past encounters, things where I've seen Jesus, where I've had a very deep exchange with Him. I'll bring that before me, and it helps me again to reconnect at a heart level and a very deep level in the spirit with Him. And that helps me. But I just, in that place, I find myself just yielding to Him and surrendering to Him. And in that sweet exchange, there's an exchange that starts to happen between me and between Jesus. And this is your portion as well. Everything that I share, just grab hold of anything of it that means anything to you. I've had to learn along the way, and I have learned so much from others. We need each other. The body needs the body. And so, for me, as I yield in and surrender myself to the presence of Jesus inwardly, that's where I begin to experience and feel His heart. And that, to me, is the most precious thing that could ever happen, to know the heart of the Lamb. But we can know it. We can know the heart of the Lamb. And that's not a certain gift or a particular calling for one or two that, you know, called into this special, special place. That is Jesus' heart for each one of us. He is longing to share His heart with you. And He gave me something really specific as I did that this week, and I'm going to come to that right at the very end. What He showed me out of His heart, what's on His heart at the moment. But even that concept of stopping to consider and just contemplate in our hearts as we move on in God and we become a mature bride, to realize that Jesus Himself has feelings, and He has burdens that are on His heart, and He has things that He cares about deeply, and He also has needs. And I felt that in the spirit this week, that there's a level of it's like a threshold that He's longing and wanting for us to cross as we are able to receive in our hearts and receive in our spirits that we are the bride of Christ, and that we are called into a depth of relationship with Jesus that's personal. And there's an intimacy about it because He won't give away His heart easily. He's not going to do that. What person would? As much as salvation is free and it's for all of us, and there is a price to pay, we can have this tremendous gift. The deeper treasures of knowing Him and being able to explore in relationship with Him, for instance, His own feelings and the burden of His heart, that's a deeper level. It is deeper. And I've found that, you know, think of, you know, that scripture that He's a rewarder of those that earnestly seek Him. seek him first, and he'll add all these other things onto you. And so there's a wooing going on, and there's a drawing coming from the Spirit of God that has to do with installing within us as the bride of Christ a level of maturity now where we're not just coming anymore to Jesus, to before the Father in the Spirit, to have our needs met, and to, you know, it's always one way, we come to him with what's on our heart. Even though tonight is about the comfort of the Spirit, and I know that really clearly and really deeply, Jesus was showing me though that the way into this tonight for all of us, because I believe that there is a point tonight where the Spirit wants to meet with each one of us very deeply, but the way into this, that Jesus was showing me that we can know his heart, and he wants to open his heart, and he wants to share his heart with us. And for us to even be aware that that's a possibility is a very, very important beginning. It's a very important beginning for me. You know, I was meditating on Jesus, his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. And most of us will be familiar, you know, very familiar with those passages. But we think about how prior to his suffering, he wanted the disciples to watch with him. He wanted, and as I've meditated on this, you really begin to realize that Jesus was a man. Although he knew what he was doing, and although he was walking in the fulfillment of the Father's will, in those moments, he needed consolation. He needed the company of loving friends. He had needs, and he reached out to the disciples for those needs of his to be met in those moments. So I felt that so deeply in the Spirit tonight for us, that there's a turning of our hearts starting to take place if we can hear what the Spirit is saying. That as we become still in his presence, it's okay for us to just be there. And not really doing a great deal necessarily. That stillness is so valuable, because as we settle and as we concentrate on him, like the words of that song tonight, just forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. And that can be just with a turning of our hearts. Nothing uttered, nothing said. I can imagine, for those of you that have been married for a really long time, you can sit with each other and be with each other. You don't have to say anything really, but you know that you love each other, and you know that that bond is for life. There's a peace about the relationship, and a depth of security and confidence in it because of the level of trust. Hearts have been opened and exposed and completely bare before each other, and that's the nature of the level of relationship that we are to have with Jesus, except deeper still. So it touched me a lot, thinking about Jesus being in the garden and how he was suffering so much, and the teardrops and the blood falling, and your heart is just gripped. But he, even now, although he has finished his work and he's ascended, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, there are burdens that he carries. There are things that he really cares about. There are things that move him. And I want to know what those things are. I do. And I have felt it this week as we press in for that place and just even contemplate and meditate on the reality that we can have this kind of connection with Jesus. I have found that as I concentrated on him and looked for the movements of his heart and leaned in to sense his feelings, that there's a shift that takes place in me. My needs and my perspective and the things I would have come to him about somehow seem to move into this different place. They're still there, they're still important, but connecting with the heart of God himself, and being tuned in, and tuning in, and listening more intently for what he's got to say. For me, if we can know what's on Jesus' heart, if we can really know, then we are, I think there's a level of authority and a level of fulfillment that's attached to that, that is something that we are yet to experience. There's a maturity about it. I long for those things, and I know that you do too. So through that sweet, sweet communion with him, the internal closeness of his person, I can feel his heart and his feelings. And I know that he wants to release that in the room tonight. That's for you. So as I meditated on this truth, oh, thank you. As I meditated on just what Jesus was showing me, he was kind of moving what we are really. I should just make the study do and ask you to talk this bottle after. Thank you. Okay, so, you know, it's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery for us. How in the world do we, you know, is that possible for us as human beings? And so the Lord just began to really quickly answer those questions. I know this really, but it was like he, it's like one-on-one teaching. To have that kind of level of encounter and that kind of level of connection with Jesus is only possible through the indwelling Spirit of God. So I'm just going to read you a little scripture from John. So those of you, if you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn to John 7, please. John 37. John 7, verse 37. So they were in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was talking there about the day when the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. If anyone thirsts, he said, then come to me and drink. But what he meant was, you're going to be able to drink of me in a way where your thirst will be so totally satisfied in the day when the Spirit is poured out. So it's an unbelievable truth for us. He was actually saying that my presence with you, Jesus was actually there in person. My presence with you like this is not going in. I don't want to say inferior, because how would that ever be inferior? But there's something more powerful coming. There's something that will satisfy you more deeply than my physical presence actually standing here before you. And it's the day when my Spirit is poured out on you, which is unbelievable for us. But as I meditated on this, you look and you see that the disciples, when they were with Jesus, they spent their time with him, they ate with him, they walked with him, they witnessed him, you know, producing many, many miracles. But they themselves, despite being with him, they weren't able to fulfill those things for themselves. You know, even, you know, if we're honest, there are times, you know, where you almost cringe because Jesus is saying to them, "Good gracious, you know, are you still asking me about how to feed a few thousand people? I've shown you the miracle. I've shown you the miracle again. Go and do it." That was it what was in his heart? Oh, unbelieving generation, how long do I have to put up with you? There was something about just walking with him in that season before Jesus had actually died and risen from the dead, been glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. There was something about that season where the people of God lacked the power. They lacked power. They didn't have the power of God within them. And so the fulfilling this tremendous, tremendous transaction that took place. Jesus has died. He was with them for 40 days. They're hardly able to believe that he's not going to be with them for much longer. But on the 40th day, he ascends. And we're coming to that period in time. I think the ascension day is not too far off. But Jesus had to leave. That was the point. He had to go. And that's what he said to them. I've got to go. Because if I don't go, then the Comforter is not going to be able to. The whole point of him leaving was so that his spirit now would be released. The spirit of Jesus himself would be released after he went, which put Christ Jesus on the inside of us. Jesus inside of us.
Yes.
That's the reason he had to go. We'll not know until we see him. We won't be able to ask these kinds of questions. But the reality is that the power of Jesus is in the person of the Holy Spirit who was poured out on the gathered ones, the 120, in Acts 2. So Jesus had said to them, wait there, wait in the upper room for me, wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit has come and the power from on high has been poured out. Don't try to go anywhere. Don't try to do anything without going in the power of the Spirit of God, which is his Spirit. So they had to wait there for the empowering to take place, which they did. And so the flames of fire were there. They manifested. So the power of God manifested, first of all, as a flame of fire. And I just find that really interesting because if you think about when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they were guided continually by the Shekinah. There's a difference between the kabod, presence of God. The kabod is the weight of the presence of God himself, but you don't see it. The Shekinah, you see it. So the Shekinah manifested in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. So I find it awesome that when the Spirit was poured out on the disciples and the gathered ones in the upper room, that manifest presence of God came like a flame of fire, the same guiding presence on their head, and the power of the Spirit came into them. So that is the indwelling person of Jesus is within when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I am not the only one to be saying this, there are lots of people saying this now. But I have felt it for such a long time, that the powerlessness of the people of God is going to be addressed as we come back into an era and back into a time when the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out again on his people, because so many within the body are not filled with the Spirit. They are not. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. My heart actually aches and breaks for the deprivation and the lack of the presence of God internally that's being forced upon God's people by the religious spirit. That's what that is. I'm going to call it for what it is. You know, I had a powerful dream two or three nights ago, and I saw in the dream, Liz and I were doing this conference, which we are doing in September, the two-day conference, which I'm saying to you, get there. If you can get there, we are going to go for this. We are going for an authentic outpouring of the the Spirit of God, because this is our portion and our inheritance, and we're going to have it. It's essential that we do. Because in our generation, we don't want to be ones that hear the testimony of the ones that went before, and we like it, we enjoy it, we think it's great, but we do not learn how to carry those things for ourselves. We want to be, in our generation, the Smith Wigglesworth of our day. Why not? This was not just for the one or the two. It wasn't. This Jesus died that his spirit, the indwelling presence of Christ, would be placed inside of everybody that believed in him. And that's where the power comes from, to have the internal connection that I've been talking about, yielding into his presence. You can do it when the spirit is resident within. So we need a baptism. We must be baptized in the spirit. And we need to be continually filled with the spirit. This is the urgency of the hour now. We've got to learn that not only have when we have been filled with the Spirit, but to be attentive to his presence within our lives. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to come and take up residence inside of a people that don't want him, don't know that he's there, or worse, that we are a fit habitation for the holy things of God. Honestly, I know it, people of God, I know it with all of my heart. I was talking about this level of maturity that we're coming into, and we want it. We want it because it's like we've been allowed to go through long seasons where we've been pared back and pruned to the point that we're almost on our knees. You know, I know I have personally. I look back to past seasons when I had so much fruit in my life, I didn't know what to do with it. But I've gone through over 10 years of intense pruning, such that every area where just about, there's a few left, you know, but every area where I had all this abundant fruit, it's just been pruned, it is gone. And I've been taken back to the very core and the very root. But the root is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the root is. And so I know it, that never mind, you guys, if you're aching and if you're feeling it, if you've been going through, you know, that pruning process and that wilderness experience, it's onto a purpose. And there are no limits. I know it. There's no limit for you. So I break it off you right now in the name of Jesus. I break these limitations off you, off your thinking, off your families, just every part of you where you have been squashed and put down. And that is such a stronghold in this nation. The religious spirit has had such a stranglehold here in England, and I'm sure it's relevant in other nations too, however far this podcast is going. But this religious spirit, I was telling you, wasn't I, about the dream? And this ties in with this, but it's so right. Liz and I holding the conference, and it was a different speaker, it wasn't Eric Gilmore, so I'm sure we'd be quite pleased if he's, you know, listening to this. But in the dream, we were having the conference, the speaker was there, it was in a sports hall, there were lots of people, and I was there at the side, I kind of like the doors there, just standing by the doors, which is probably where I would be spiritually, just watching what's going on. And in that door came a load of high priests. Wow. They were dressed in all, and I speak with respect and love, of course, for the Jewish people. But these were like the ones that were after Jesus in his day, after him, looking for him, colluding with those that were close to Jesus to get hold of him and to end his life, even though that was the purpose of God, even though that was meant to happen. In this dream, these high priests came, they swept in, and I saw the breastplate, I saw the headgear, I saw all of it, and there were about 7 or 8 of them, and they came into that setting. They come to look. I knew that from the dream. They come to see, but it was like they had an overarching sense of authority. Like they were the ones over the whole thing, and nothing could get past them. So in other words, if they didn't agree with it, if they didn't see it, then it wasn't so. But that is the, I know it's a manifestation of the religious spirit, and we're going to hit up against that. We do hit up against that in this nation, but there's a veil that's being torn away from our eyes so that the scriptures start to come alive for us again, and we begin to see, because once we see it, once we apprehend the truth, so Jesus, his presence here, his mandate, his death, his triumph over the grave, over death, Satan under his feet, he's done it, it's finished, he's gone to the right hand of the Father, he has a bride which is us, but the only way we can cut the covers of the mystery of this and have the power to attain it is through the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. It's the only way. So the Spirit, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. I just encourage you, but while I'm sharing, just inwardly start to agree, open the door of your heart. And I know that most of you are here, Spirit-filled. I know that you are. What I'm saying to you is, there is so much more. The Spirit wants to come in like a flood. Jesus said, those of you who are thirsty, come to me. You'll never thirst again. You'll never be thirsty again. But he was talking about the day when the Spirit would come, because the Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. Well, the Spirit has been poured out now. So we receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive you, Holy Spirit. His presence in our lives is how we drink the river that will never run dry. The river of life that gushes and floods and bubbles up within. The word says, out of your belly shall come rivers of living water. It's not your water. It's not your anointing. It's not your gift. It's not what you are good at. It's not the amount to which you have the fruit of the Spirit. Even the fruit of the Spirit is not our fruit, it's His. It's Him inside of us. That living water is coming from Jesus Himself. So when we are filled with the Spirit of God, that living water, which is the tangible substance of who Jesus is, which if we drink of Him, we'll never be thirsty again. If we eat of Him, we'll never ever be hungry again. Those things flow through our lives and touch the people that we are with. And I know this is the key to transformation. I know it. I know the transformation movement is going to come right around this central truth, and as it is now, but in greater measure, as the revelation dawns on us that each one of us, you know, we can attain, we must attain these things. Not we can, but we must. You know, we go into corporate gatherings, and the word says, forsake not the joining of yourselves together. So we've got to be together. We need these times. I need these times. You know, I've driven down from Lincoln today for hours in the car, but I was so glad to get here just to be with you, because we need each other. We've got to stick together in this hour more than any other. We've got to stick together because the attack is there, and, you know, religious spirit is there, and who knows what else spirit is there. But the point is that Jesus has overcome all of that, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so the indwelling presence of Jesus, just think about that for a moment. So the Spirit is a person, we see Him as a person. It's the person of the Spirit of Jesus in us. And so we, if you were to meditate on that, and I encourage you with all my heart, go away from this and get with God, get quiet, see this presence and just think about that. Just let that truth meditate upon that truth and let it percolate within you. You actually have the substance of Jesus in you. You're connected to Him. So where I started with how do I get a message, well, I sit in His presence and yield to Him. So I'm yielding internally, not to some notion or a sort of ethereal kind of feeling of who Jesus might be. I'm in line with the Word of God. I'm in line with the Word because the Spirit is being sent into me. The indwelling presence of Christ is in me. And so no wonder I can tune into his heart, because he himself is there. Now, I'm just cracking the covers of this myself. I'm not trying to say that I'm there yet or have this marvelous experience all the time. But I know that as we lay hold of these key truths, and there are so many truths, so much in the Word that we need, so much that we must feed upon, but there are some truths at the moment that are more important than any other, and the basic ones of what the gospel actually is. So when the Spirit was written, Jesus did what he did, he fulfilled his mandate. It is finished, he cried. He ascended, he goes back to the Father, and he had to go there so that the Spirit would be released. And when the Spirit was released and poured out upon the disciples and into us, amen, and let us be continually filled. The presence of Jesus comes into us, and now we no longer have to strive or find from somewhere the ability to live this life before God or any other duty or responsibility. The striving comes to an end because he himself is providing all that we need. His strength, his power, the power of God. I could preach on that for another half an hour at least, I'm sure. I think the power of God is in us. I don't know what fully quenches this for us. I know the religious spirit has a lot to do with it, but I don't know fully, I'll just be honest with you. But don't we experience a huge resistance all the time against us beginning to walk this way? But the more you come back to those truths, come back to them, no matter who you are or what you're going through or what your situation is, come back to these central truths that the Spirit has been poured out. He is in us when we've been baptized in the Spirit. We need to be continually baptized. We can't just have a one-off and hope it will, we'll have to live off that for the rest of our lives. No, we need to come and come and come again and welcome his presence in us as a daily thing. Being aware when the levels are starting to ebb away. And I, for myself, I know when the presence of God is starting to ebb away from me because I can't feel any connection to him. He's too far away from me, and I can't live without him. I cannot live without the presence of God, and we should not. This is the lie. We're exposing it in Jesus' name. We are not going to be obliged and forced to live on words, wonderful ones even. Jesus is the Word made flesh. We want to eat him, take him into ourselves, but it takes the power and the presence of the Spirit of God to achieve it. Do you see what I'm saying? Without the Spirit, we can't do it. Amen. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. The last time we were together, I think, I'm just going to check the time because the clock at the back says it's 25 to 6. Are you going for another 4 hours?
Yeah, in the morning.
All right, we've got some time. We are going to have some ministry time at the end. But yeah, I had a dream probably about 2 months ago now, just over. And I just love this dream because it's right what I'm talking about. So excuse me, those of you that were here and you heard it before, but I like it so much, I'm going to tell you it again. So the dream, I was in it was like a scientific kind of setting, almost like, just think of it like where the national grid power supplies are controlled from. So it was a very clean, clinical environment, lots of sort of equipment and things like that, and it was very pristine. There were no people in it, hardly, but there was this great big desk, a huge desk, which for the sound guys was like a mixing desk with all the little dials and everything like that, but it was like command central of the national grid, which is how we get our electricity, our power. And so I was in there, and all of a sudden all the power went off right across the nation. It had gone off. It's like gone. We had no power. Can you imagine that? No kettles. That would be a disaster. Straight away. Oh my goodness. So anyway, all this power had gone off. And so in the dream, I just sort of found myself like just going towards this desk, propelled. And I lay my hands on the desk, stretched out, and I just started speaking over this desk in tongues. I was commanding the power to come back on. And so, yeah, absolutely. You think this is where we are. The power of God needs to be switched on again. We completely need for the people of God, for us certainly, come on, let's come around these truths. Let's start to embrace them. And even this week, as I've been preparing, and it all started with me going into that still place and starting to receive Jesus' heart. And then he was showing me, you know, talking to me and sort of kind of saying, but don't you think you should tell people how it is that you can feel it this way? And so that's when I went to John 7 and the whole message just started to spiral, which is where we've got to now. But so the power, there's an intercession right now. But what I didn't tell you the last time, I told you part of the dream but not the whole, so I'll tell you the rest of it tonight. So there I was, I had my hands on the desk and I was speaking in tongues, basically doing what I needed to do. All I needed to do, actually. I didn't know what else to do, so I was just there and just feeling like, I'm shaking the desk and everything. And then this man came in, and he was an older man, and basically he just pushed me right off the thing. Just pushed me off it, and it was like, I know what to do here. Not you. I know what to do. I'm just sort of tweaking the little dials and fiddling around with it, and that was the end of the dream. So I took the dream in two parts. That the power of God needs to be restored to the people of God, undoubtedly. I do believe that in this nation, the power of the Spirit, in many ways, we come to an all-time low. There are pockets because, and I can remember, many of us will do, you know, during the refreshing, the last major moves of God that we knew, and these are ones that were corporate. So there is a difference. You know, the corporate setting, I was saying that earlier, I wasn't tired, we need the corporate settings, we need to be together. We want the corporate manifestation of God, we want the Shekinah, we want the Kabod to come in the room. And to some extent, I feel like the Kabod was here. The Kabod, the weighty presence of God, came in the room this night, and that's how I entered into the vision, and I could see, and I was, you know, given the blanket of wool and all of that, which is awesome. So that's important, but the other side of it is that individually, though, so there's a corporate setting, but what I'm talking about tonight, largely, is our inheritance and what's rightfully ours, which is the baptism and the internal presence that we carry of God Himself within us. And so, either way, with this dream, there's a need for the power to be switched on, and the intercession was there. I feel like we're going to be on a mandate about this now for some time until we see the breakthrough starting to come. And I'm not just talking about outbreaks again like we had before, which I hope we do have that. I want the Holy Spirit to move here tonight. I don't want anything else. I just want to see what the Word says is ours. What belongs to you. What belongs to you. These are the gifts from God that we are entitled to. But there is an opposition. And I think the man coming into the dream, it probably represents established church. I know all about this. I know how to do it. I know was his thing. I know how to do it. That's the problem that we've got. When we put our hands to the things of God, thinking we know, we're doing these things in our own strength. They have nothing to do with the divine, supernatural source of supply and power that comes from God. It's coming from us. That's why the church is threadbare and worn out, exhausted in so many situations, because we have neglected the person in the presence of the Spirit of God. We haven't understood the major tenets of our theology, if I can be honest. And I'll throw my hat in the ring and say, amen. I've learned so much down the years. I've had complex times of rich understanding, being mentored by great men of God. But I told you that in every area just about where I was fruitful, I had the most severe pruning, so that I'm just left with this tiny stump. And at times it's broken my heart. I thought, God, you know, what's happening to me? You know, surely I should have more to show for my life than this. And it's been really painful to me, ever so painful. But I believe in so many ways what I've gone through is no different than what many of you have gone through. Because those truths and those things that I learned, they are powerful. They are true. They're necessary. But they are fundamental truths that as the body of Christ, we've got the camp around. We've got to put our stake in the ground around them. We've got to make those things the central truths of our life, and we must absorb what those truths mean and take them in and live by them to the expense of all else, until we have broken through, until we have become the manifestation of what these truths are talking about, that we carry the presence of the Spirit of God and rivers of living water are coming from Jesus himself into us and flowing out of us in an inexhaustible manner. We will have a connection with Jesus that is unbreakable. It cannot be broken while the Spirit is inside of us. It can't be. So there's an unlimited, endless, unshakable relationship, deep connection with Jesus himself through his Spirit being in us. And these, for me, are the truths that anchor. They anchor us no matter what we are going through. No trial, no sickness, no persecution, no sadness. Nothing will be able to shake you when we have these things in place in our life. Sounds easy to say, but as I've said, I've shared with you, and I there are things I could talk about, you know, and maybe I should, you know, even coming to Arise some of the times last year, we were going through something within our family. We were inches away from losing the family home, inches. Some of you might remember me talking about the chrysalis, and coming through it, and the pressing, and the getting through something, and struggling, and, you know, the butterfly emerging, you know, without taking the message away from where we should be tonight. I am being honest with you, saying, I've been through excruciating circumstances that have been really scary. You know, we had a deadline by August the 31st to pay a certain amount of money to a certain lender. All we would lose the house. And that was everything my parents worked for. Every last thing. And in the 11th hour, and I'm not joking, at the last second, God came through. But I come to Arise, when I come to the last part of what Jesus working out his heart for tonight, you'll see why I'm saying this, why I felt to be honest with you. Just share a little bit about me. You know, there is no shame in believing the truth and pressing in for it. And as saying to yourself, I'm having this in my life, it's the last thing I do. And to have major struggles going on at the same time. Okay? And sometimes the two things do go hand in hand. We do have an enemy. He will come at you. He will find his way through doorways of opportunity to try to reach for your testimony. For your testimony. But I tell you, Jesus cannot let us down. He can't fail us. We have the power of his own power available to us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. And so, amen, as we struggle, it's not telling fibs and coming and proclaiming tremendous things when you've got difficulties in the background. No. We're contending even while we struggle. And they're like birth pangs, aren't they? They're so, I've never given birth, but I can only imagine what it must be like. But I'm sure we can all relate to this. At times there's such a fundamental struggle going on with you. You feel like it's a life and death. And it's different situations, but there is such struggle going on with us. But I tell you, and Liz has preached this in such a beautiful way. Those struggles are the doorway, they're the portal, they're the way we get to where God's going to take us. The enemy might have had something on us, they might have had legal right to throw that arrow our way. Even the situation with the house, some of it could be put back to decisions that my dad had made before he died. But he died of a brain tumor at 63. He wasn't ready quite yet, and things weren't in place, but we had to suffer the consequences of that. There are natural circumstances we've got to press through, and it's painful. It is. But I know that as we lay hold of these truths, to have the living presence of Christ in us. Like I said, you get attached to him. You learn to recognize when he's with you. You know this, you should pay attention to the feeling when he's going away and make course correction quickly to get back. Because if you don't, then what you're left with is your own effort, your own resources, striving, struggling, and feeling, where is God? And we start to feel like he's abandoned us. Well, he hasn't. But we've got to mature. And that's what I was saying at the beginning. There's a maturing, isn't there, that's taking place. And this is why we need each other in times like these. As we press for the high calling in Christ Jesus, we stick together, we share one another's burdens, we pray for each other, but we put the standard of the truth in front of us. That's what we look at. We look at him. And we say, he is not going to let us down. And I want the fullness of everything that the disciples had. Jesus himself said, I've done awesome things, but you're going to do even greater. So, I'm going to start to wrap up here. I was talking about, just discerning Jesus' heart. And I felt so good after that little time. I'd been battling in the garden. I was really tired, but I know that, Liz would say this 150%, we can't come to these meetings just on the fly. It really does take, and any minister, I'm sure, they will say the same thing. And you guys would too. And I was making a nice laugh earlier because I drove down from Lincoln, and then who knows what the M25 is going to do. And so I texted Mark from South Moons and said, well, if I'm a bit late, Mark, I'll just leave the meeting to you, so Mark would have had to do it. But all of that to say that being in his presence and practicing these principles, absorbing the truth of them, and knowing, it's true, I'm sure many of us have just marveled at, like Eric Gilmore, for instance. I encourage you guys, find him on YouTube. Have a little listen to Eric. You'll enjoy him so much. What a sweet young guy. What a holy relationship he has with the Lord. And we could look at someone like Eric and think, wow, gosh, you know, what a wonderful calling. But not for me. But no, that's the whole point. Everything friends and ministers like that, and more is ours, because this is what Jesus died for. He died that we might live, and more than that, he's given us the power by placing his own spirit in us, and he achieves everything through us as we yield. He's going to live his life. He's going to come into you. You are going to walk in your destiny, and the more you rest, the more you surrender, the more you relax, and stay connected internally, that river of living water and that power is in you, propelling you forward with favor, with opportunity, with answers to prayer, with the ability to endure suffering like Jesus did. He's going to help us. He's not asking us, giving us such a high standard, and then saying, now you go and do that, and you've got to get strong in your own strength. No, his power is made perfect in weakness. So, as I was listening to Jesus and doing my own way, spending my time with him, just listening, and I was contemplating about his heart, and it was a prophetic word that I had years ago, and any of you who have bought my book, The Mantle of Purity, I do talk about that word that I had and that I treasured it so dearly, that I was called to know the heart of the Lamb. And I've held that word and gone back to it just over and over, and I revisited it again this week, and I was just marvelling at it, thinking, wow, oh my gosh, yes, Jesus, I want to know your heart. I do. And I'd heard Jonathan Patrick from the Brownsville Revival, which I assume many of you have maybe partaken of, but you have heard of it, but incredible revival, 4 million people through the doors, probably the most powerful revival America has seen so far. But one something John said about the early days before the revival broke out just touched my heart. And it was that before revival came, Jesus spoke to John and just said to him, can I borrow your building? Which, of course, you think, sure, anytime. But it was what he said next that just blew me away. He said, I'll pay my own way.
Wow.
Which on one hand is awesome, isn't it? Because he did. But that pierced my heart. It did, as a bride and a person loving him, that pierced my heart. Because I thought, and please, you know, don't at all make any slip-ups here, but I'm thinking John or that revival, which I've got nothing but the absolute most respect for. But it was just that, I thought, Jesus, you know, I would gladly pay for you. For whatever. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's like, my resources, I would love to be able to bless you. It just did something in my heart. I maybe just have to leave it there, but it did. It kind of struck me that he'd say that. It's like, well, Jesus, I'll pay my own way. Okay, well, I would take a massive offer and we'll just pay for you, mate, and you come. As the week unfolded, this is where I'm going to close, and we're going to have a time just for some response. What came to my heart, and this is, I know this is on Jesus' heart in a really big way, and this might come as a surprise to you men, but it's the men that are on his heart. He showed me actually how deeply concerned he is, in a good way, about men in this country. And obviously I'm aware of time now, we do need to wrap up. So I'll just share a few little thoughts, but I want this to just settle for you guys. Because obviously there's a right order, there's a way of living that God has for us, that he prefers. And he loves to think of the husbands loving the wife as Jesus loved his church. And for the men to be recognized in their own homes as the head and the priest, the covering. There's lots of reasons why that goes wrong. And we can't do it, you know, so and we can all think what that might be. But what was coming from Jesus' heart towards me, as I was just waiting in his presence, was the weight of responsibility that the men are carrying, and the anguish that many are in. And the culture that we have, where the men can't talk about how they feel, it's not the done thing. And there are men carrying tremendous burdens, trying to be that good guy, whether you're married or not. It's perhaps even harder when you aren't. But there is a design and what God intends and how he wants to glorify himself, bring glory to himself through our marriages and through our family life. And there's such battle over this, as we know. But he sees, I know that Jesus sees your private thoughts as men and the weight that you carry and how lonely that feels at times and the burden of the responsibility that you carry as well. Not to mention the struggles that you have and the secret sins, things that you can't share with another living soul. I know that Jesus sees it. And I feel that this is what the blanket, the comfort of the Spirit was about. In the vision that I had, it's for all of us that we're being comforted tonight. We are being comforted. We're okay. We are on the right track. We have tremendous hope. We are being given the right directions, and the signposts are coming very, very clear for us. We have a hope. We have access to everything that we need, actually, whether that is physical, financial, spiritual, we have access to it. But tremendous damage many times has been done. People have grown up through extraordinary pain, and there are very, very deep wounds. And so I know that you guys especially, you're big on Jesus' heart right now. And I just want you to receive that.